This is Twit.
Well, you know who's not back? Travis Kalanick.
Yes.
That's the other big story of the week, which broke yesterday. I had read while we were away that Travis was going to take a leave of absence of a few months while they got it together, because Jeff Holder, who was investigating all these allegations. Really, Susan Fowler can take credit for ousting Kalanick, I think.
I mean, is he really ousted?
He was on a leave of absence. Now he says, I resign. He says the board.
He resigned as CEO, but he's still the chairman of the board and the biggest shareholder.
He did say, though, that the board would basically force him out. Yeah, but that means he's not there for day-to-day operations, right?
Correct. If you follow HBO Silicon Valley, he just did what Gavin Newsom just did. He called Richard on the phone.
Gavin Belson.
I'm leaving. Belson, Gavin Belson, yes.
Gavin Newsom's the he's lieutenant governor of California. Yeah, similar lieutenant, name, though.
And future governor. He got on an airplane and went to Tibet or something. But he's still pretty much in charge of the company, more or less. He's just got a better life because he doesn't have to show up for work every day.
Well, this can happen, though, if you're a publicly held company or you've got an independent board. Uber's not publicly held, but if you've got an independent board, they can force you out. So even though he founded the company and, you know, I think gets some credit for building a behemoth, a unicorn, even though it never makes any money.
Yeah.
It turns out it was the investors. On Tuesday, yesterday, five of Uber's major investors, this is according to the New York Times, demanded that Kalanick resign immediately. That includes Benchmark Capital. And they deliver this letter. And even though you're the founder and the CEO, you can't ignore that. And so he's after long discussions with some of the investors, the Times write, he agreed to step down.
So let me ask you a high-level question, Leo, which is that they entered this space. They wanted to disrupt essentially the taxi industry and, in the long term, the car ownership idea by providing this model whereby there would be an app-driven, flexible employment-based ride-sharing service thing. And they're going up against, you know, transportation giants, big taxi companies.
Incumbents.
Incumbents.
That's the word you hate if you're a startup, is the guys who are already there and don't want to be disrupted.
And in order to do that, Uber... basically, their approach to dealing with that fact is just to be bare knuckles, lie, cheat, steal, be a bunch of jerks, abrasive, brush off the law, brush off whatever, track people. I mean, just they were just a hardcore company. And
you can make the argument they had to be because they were fighting taxi medallion owners in the
taxi commission. That is the question. Would they have succeeded if they would have played nice?
Oh, no.
No, I think they had to be pugnacious.
I mean, look at what happened with Juno, which was the, hey, let's be nice to drivers, let's follow the laws. They just got bought by somebody.
I don't even remember them. Who are they?
Juno?
Is that another ride sharing?
Yeah, ride sharing. It was in New York City, mostly. Funny.
But this is also Juno. A very competitive space, right? So it wasn't merely that you're fighting the taxi commission. You're also fighting Lyft and Juno and everybody else. But he did, I mean, I don't know enough about the inside to know if he created the bro culture that was such a problem, but.
Oh yeah, dude, he was such a libertarian bro dude. I mean, did you read the memo that he had sent out about, like, hey, don't have sex with your coworkers, please, you know, don't vomit in the.
Yeah, he had party rules, Uber's party rules.
I mean, I've worked for startups and it's really easy, and I've worked for good people and I've worked for bad people. And I had a boss who would, you know, have meetings at strip clubs and show people porn on their phone. And that was a very different environment than, you know,
not good.
Ohm, who was just a stellar person who, like, when someone said something stupid, he'd just turn to them and be like, that's dumb. Get out of here.
Good for Ohm. You're talking about Giga Ohm and Ohm Malik, of course.
Yes.
This letter came out in 2013. It's called the Miami Letter, a saucy rule book. This is from Recode. For the 400 employees at the company who were headed to Florida's Shore Club for what was a party-focused celebration of the car hailing company's success. Titled, Urgent, Urgent, this is all in caps, read this now or else. You better read this or I will kick your ass, says Travis Kalanick 4 years ago. Have a great effing time. This is a celebration. Miami's transportation sucks butt. I have to bowdlerize it so I can. He says there's a $200 puke charge if you vomit. No throwing beer kegs off buildings. No fornication. It says do not have sex with another employee unless A, you have asked that person for that privilege and they have responded with an emphatic yes, I will have sex with you. That's good advice. And B, the two or more of you do not work in the same chain of command. Yes, that means Travis will be celibate on this trip. Hashtag CEO life, hashtag FML. Boy, that is bro culture. Wow.
See, I mean, like, that's not a memo that.
He said he was proud of the letter and spoke to his team about it often.
Yeah.
He's a douchebag.
Okay, so you can fairly blame him for the culture.
Yeah, And it has to be, you know, to follow up on my previous question, there's no business benefit to that kind of stuff.
Well,
to sexism.
Maybe not, but maybe there is because, well, for instance, if you lead a sales team of young guys, as I think you both know, that's the kind of thing that works with them to get them pumped and motivated and rah-rah. And if you've ever been to a sales meeting, Mike, but you're an editor-in-chief. You know what those meetings were like.
Why is your sales team young guys? I mean,
That's changed, fortunately, I think.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, if he was a visionary, if he was Jeff Bezos and calculated that you need to be bare knuckles and really push the limits in terms of laws and in terms of unions and in terms of all the rest, that's one thing. This is a guy who's kind of out of control, who's kind of like, has a frat house mentality and is doing lots of things and saying lots of things and creating a culture that is not conducive to long-term success. Now, I know lots and lots of companies that started out like this. They're clueless geeks. They don't really understand. They don't have a lot of experience interacting with the opposite sex.
If you're just out of college, you're 22 years old.
Or whatever, but they change. But before they get as, you know, Uber's like a super unicorn. They're a decacorn or whatever it is. You know, before they get anywhere near that big, they have to change and become a company that respects people and has a fundamental decency about them and has a certain level of professionalism about them. I'm talking to, you know, when you transition from a 10-person shop to a 20-person shop, by the time you get to that 20-person shop, you should not be talking like a frat boy anymore.
His investors let that happen. And part of the reason they let that happen is because Silicon Valley is both a male dominated and also a really youthful culture.
Right.
So, I mean, even I, when I was younger, I mean, okay, some of this I would not have respected, but, you know, I'd be like, yeah, party. And now, you know, I'm like, oh, I can't believe I even sent some of those emails or talked to people like that who were my bosses. I'm like, what?
You know, we had a really good triangulation. I actually wasn't the hostess when I was on vacation, but I just listened to it on June 5th with a guy, Russ Laraway, who runs a company. Really, it's kind of he does a podcast and it runs a company called Candor Incorporated. It's a management training company. But it's well worth a listen because he started out at the age of 22. He was a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps, and which meant, he says, I was in charge of 14 guys. And he learned lessons of leadership, which, by the way, one of the temptations would be like, be that rah-rah, you know, guy, put a bag on it, it's okay if you don't get caught kind of guy. But he didn't. And the Marine Corps encouraged him not to be. And he learned leadership lessons, then went on to Google and learn more leader, and that I think well-run companies, and the Marine Corps is very well-run, has to be, or wouldn't succeed as a military operation, learn that there are ways that are successful to run groups of organizations of people and ways that are not successful. listen to the interview because it's really interesting, and it taught me what a lousy manager I am. But so you might say, oh, it's, you know, that's how Uber was. You don't like it, don't work there. But I think it's not good business. And I think the board is right. And I think the investors are right to say that's not going to be good in the long run. That's not how you manage. You can't manage a team that way. It won't work.
Well, they didn't wake up to that.
Yes, they took their time. And that's why Travis Kalanick is on the beach. It's a very nice beach.
Yeah.
Girls in string bikinis giving him margaritas, but it's not the beach that the investors want him to be on. And it really, it all started with this, and I have to give credit to Susan J. Fowler. And, you know, I was just looking at this. This was in February. This was only 4 months ago. She wrote this blog post about her treatment. And isn't this really, wasn't this the trumpet?
Straw that broke.
It was even more than that. It was the straw that broke, but it was also the thing that woke everybody up, and they said, this cannot continue. That's when they hired Jeffrey Holder. They began the investigation. That's when Arianna Huffington got involved. People mocked Susan Fowler. I think we talked about this when it came out.
We absolutely did not mock her.
In fact, we said what a big problem this was for Uber. I don't think anybody expected that this would topple Travis Kalanick, but it did.